Good morning again, everyone. Now, I'm going to say it because it's still the Christmas season, but Merry Christmas to everybody. And I say that because I've made this same comment many times in the past. Christmas is the greatest love story ever told. The Lord above sent His only begotten Son to earth to become a baby born for sacrifice to redeem His children. There is no greater love than that. And that's why we celebrate the Christmas season. And as I mentioned earlier, we decided to light the candles again because in Christmas, everything about the love of God is captured. The prophecies that were told about Jesus coming to earth, the hope that we have because of those promises of God, the joy that we have when we put our hope and trust in God, and the love that we feel during the Christmas season, I believe, is stronger than any other time of the year. And it all culminates in the lighting of the Christ candle, the center candle, the white candle, and it is the eternal flame that never goes out. It is Jesus Christ. And we are here to worship Him this day. And so in this message, as we look at Christmas, which we just celebrated, we also want to look forward to 2026. Yeah, that's a big number. I remember being young, and when I was in my 20s, thinking, you know, when is it? 2001, I'll be 40 years old. That's still a long ways off, but I'll be kind of old. Well, that came and went. And then I was looking at when I was going to be 60, and that came and went. None of us know how many years we're going to be blessed to be here on this earth. But we do know this. It is God who will give us every day that we are blessed to walk on this earth. And none of us know what 2026 has in store for us. But God does. And the same was true with the Christmas story. So I want to look at some aspects of the Christmas story that we don't always focus on, but are very pertinent and germane to you and I, and to what 2026 may hold for us, and what the Christmas story tells us. So, if you want to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to be reading in both Luke and Matthew in the Gospels today. And I want us to, I'll probably read some things and then stop and back up because there are many emphases here that I want you to apply to yourself. You see, the message of Christmas is very personal. It's because God loved you as an individual that Jesus came. And it's very personal to an individual to you for what 2026 may bring. So I pray that the Lord will bless me to try to say what's on my heart, and that you can take these gospel messages and apply them to yourself. So we start out reading in the Gospel of Luke. And here the angel Gabriel is speaking to Mary. And I just want to stop right at the very beginning, because if it's on the PowerPoint now, Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 33, we see something that we've talked about a lot this past year. The very first statement, do not be afraid. I want you to think about that as we go forward in today and then in 2026. Do not be afraid. And here Gabriel's telling Mary, and put yourself in Mary's place. She was a young teenage girl. And she is about to hear some amazing things. We talked about the prophecy candle. Well, this is the prophecy of the Christmas message. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Now, none of us here could put ourselves truly in Mary's place. But the angel is repeating prophecy to Mary and telling her that she had found favor. Well, I just want you to all be aware, and I'm sure you are, but human nature, sometimes we forget. We have the gift of faith in our hearts. We have found favor with God too. Because without that gift of faith, we wouldn't be here, would we? And it is God who gives us the gift of faith. It comes from on high, and He only gives that to His children. So be thankful for the gift of faith that is in your heart. Be thankful that you have a desire to hear His word preached. Be thankful for Jesus Christ, because it is by God's revelation to you that you know Him. Hear this prophecy He was being told, that He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. In all His kingdom there will be no end. This was foretold in the Old Testament, and that was why we light the prophecy candle, because the prophecy came to fulfillment through the birth of Jesus. Now, if you continue on over in the book of Luke in chapter 2, I want to read verses 1 through 7, and then again we're going to think about some things. I want you to think about how this applies to your life. You see, Mary was told some things. And in Matthew's gospel, she pondered all these things in her heart. She thought about them. Well, folks, we need to be thinking about God's word too. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place when Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, we know this part of the story, and we have our nativity scenes, and it's even in Charlie Brown's Christmas. You know how sad it is that for some people, the only time they ever hear this is if they're watching a Charlie Brown cartoon. But thank God that it's there, because they may not hear it otherwise. But thank God that you know the Christmas story. But I want you to think about some things as we try to immerse ourselves into what Mary and Joseph were enduring in this Christmas story. You think about what the angel told them, and now what they had to do. On the next slide, we have a map of Israel at that time. And if you can see it, if you look up at the top of the map, you'll see the Sea of Galilee and that whole Galilee region. And over to the left is Nazareth. That's where Jesus of Nazareth. This is where Joseph and Mary were at the time. This is where the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary. And this is where they were when the census was taken. And now she was already 9 months along. And they have to travel from Nazareth all the way down to Bethlehem. And Bethlehem is down at the bottom where you see Judea. Right above that is Jerusalem, and Bethlehem is on the southern outskirts of Jerusalem. And that's where the angel told them to go. That's where they traveled because of the census. Now you think about the census went out. They had the census in Rome at that time every 5 years. And it just happened to fall upon this time when Mary was pregnant. And if you see those two dotted line, red lines, we don't know exactly which pathway they took. But we know that Joseph and Mary were obedient, and they had to travel a good distance from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And there she was, 9 months along. So now I want you to think about something. Remember what the angel said to Mary. The angel told and repeated to Mary what the prophecy was, that she would, in the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, a Savior would be born, Jesus Christ. But I want you to remember also, the angel told her, do not be afraid. And we've been over this now several times, but do not be afraid and fear not is repeated 365 times in the Bible, once for each day the Lord gives us. Do not be afraid. And it applies to me and you. Do not be afraid. You see, that was an arduous journey that Joseph and Mary had to take. But they didn't have a choice. They had to follow what the census said. If not, there were repercussions under Roman law. So they had to travel. And it wasn't convenient. Circumstances were difficult. But they obeyed. and God's provisions and providing hand saw them safely to Bethlehem. Now, I can only imagine how uncomfortable that was for Mary. And Joseph, of course, was walking alongside the donkey. It wasn't an easy trip. And you know, sometimes circumstances in life for us are not the easiest either. And what they found when they got there was even worse. There was no hotel room, no motel, no inn for her to stay in. Instead, there was a stable. But you see, a prophecy had been given. And circumstances don't matter. Whatever the God has prophesied and spoken, it will all come to pass. So no interventions of this life was going to prevent Jesus from being born here on earth, because that was the appointed time. And it was particularly important that this occur in Bethlehem, because that's what the prophecy said. And the specific prophecy is found in Micah chapter 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrath, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. This is Jesus Christ. And it was prophesied hundreds of years before where his birth would take place. And now here Mary has traveled, and she has given birth, and of all places, Jesus is in a manger, a humble manger. God led them to Bethlehem, and that is important. But that's not the only ones who were led to Bethlehem. You see, the Christmas story has many aspects, and another of it is takes place when we look at the account in Matthew from the wise men who traveled from the east. Over in Matthew chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, turn with me. Chapter 2, we're going to read the first 12 verses, and of course it's on our presentation. But now note, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen the stars in the east and have come to worship him." Now, if we just take that one caption for just a moment, Jesus was already born, so they weren't there when Jesus was actually born. This was afterwards that the wise men came. And they came from the east. And they, why are they coming? Because God has revealed a star to them and a prophecy. You see, God spoke to these wise men. If you start looking up the history of the wise men, they most likely came from anywhere between Babylon and over into Iran. And they were learned people, very educated, and they were astrologers, and they were very wealthy. And they came bearing gifts, but that's not the primary reason they came. The wise men came because God spoke to them, and they have come to worship Jesus Christ. You see, God revealed it to these people. And they traveled a great distance. And if you look in the following presentation, there's another map of what, this is kind of a general consensus of what many different sources seem to think the route that may have been taken. We don't know it for certain, but we do know this: from point A to point B is a long way. And they traveled, and here on this map it basically shows from Babylon, which is in Iraq today. They traveled all the way from there on camels and on foot and with horses in this caravan of three wise men. And they had a whole entourage with each one of them. So a lot of people were traveling all the way to Jerusalem. And you can see by the green route that most scholars think that they took. This was a long, many hundred miles journey. But God had spoken to them. And God had told them, and they were being obedient. And let's continue on, verses 3 through 12. So they come to Jerusalem, and they're asking, "Where is Jesus?" And then in verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where their young child was. And folks, I want to stop right there. God always goes before his people. This star had been leading the wise men. And I think most of us know the story. It says all Jerusalem was troubled because of this ruler. And now these very wise and powerful people have come, and they want to worship this child. Well, back in that day, children were killed if they were a threat to the kingdom. And Herod wanted to kill the Christ child. And as you know the story, he later sent out a decree, and all males that were 2 years and younger were murdered because of Herod's word. He didn't want the status quo overturned. He didn't have any desire to worship Christ. But these wealthy people, these wise men, came from the east with the sole desire to worship Christ Jesus. You see, when the sole desire in our hearts is to worship, God leads us too. And he led these wise men. So let's continue on again with verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And I just have to ask each and everybody in your hearts, do you rejoice over the knowledge of Jesus Christ? These were wealthy people, but they were rejoicing over the promise of the Redeemer. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now the wise men is not the focus of this message this morning. But I want you to see that God led them here, just like he led Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem. And there they, when they found where he was in the house, you see, it wasn't in the manger anymore. It's not like it's depicted in modern day movies and our nativity scenes. That's okay. But they were in a house in Bethlehem, and it says a young child. Most people think that he was about 2 years old. That's not important either. What's important is that God led them here. And they came with great joy. Even though this had been a many hundred mile arduous trip, God led them there, folks, and God leads you too. He leads all of us. And they rejoiced when they found the house. And they fell down and they worshiped him. Now, we give presents at Christmas. Basically, this custom comes from the wise men gave gifts. But you notice there's no record here that the wise men brought with them any pride, trying to say, oh, look at what I gave. Look at what I did. No, they came with joy in their hearts to worship. You see, Christmas is a time to celebrate the love of God. And so we give gifts to one another, but the motivation should be because we are thankful for people. We love one another, and we want to share in this joyful time, so we give gifts to one another. It's not about trying to outdo another person or trying to say, look at what I did, look at what I gave, look how important I am. No, there's nothing there that we find in this account. These wealthy people came and they worshiped with great joy. And they gave these gifts out of love because God had revealed to them, these wise men, who were wise and who were esteemed in their own country, God had revealed to them the one who is above all, Jesus Christ. And they came to worship him. And then we need to notice again in the account in verse 12 that they were divinely warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. So they went another way. What do we find here, folks? We find God leading his people, God making provisions in spite of circumstances to carry out what he has spoken. And God divinely speaks to us too. Sometimes it is through prayer and through dreams, but primarily it's through God's word, which we have written here in this Bible. And folks, God is speaking to us today too. And just like these wise men, no matter how wealthy we are or how poor we are, like Mary or Joseph, nothing else matters more in this life than worshiping God. And what do we bring to God? As we sang and when we are presenting our tithes, all we can do and bring to God is our heart, a heart filled with thankfulness for the knowledge of Christ, a heart filled with contrition for the times when we sin and ask for forgiveness, a heart believing that God will provide for us and praising Him because we are His children. You see, if you think about this story, and this is true throughout the Bible, Mary and Joseph and the wise men, they were all led to Bethlehem because God had a plan and a purpose. And that applies to me and you. I said we need to make this an individual message. God has a plan and a purpose for all of us. Now, there's something that we need to recognize. God's plan may be a little bit different from our plan. You know, we may think we are the chief potentate of our life, but we're not. God is. God has a plan for all of us, and that plan will come to pass. Just like it did for Mary and Joseph. I'm sure they weren't thrilled about making that journey when Mary was 9 months along. I'm sure that the wise men had traveled about 900 miles to go from Babylon to Bethlehem. That was quite an undertaking. But God had a plan, and He had spoken it. He has a plan for us. His plan may lead us to places where we might not prefer them to be. But that's not what's important. They might be inconvenient, and the road to get there might be very difficult. But if you trust God, are you praying, "Thy will be done," and to lead me, just like He led Mary and Joseph, and He led these wise men? Because God will. Are you praying to the Lord who is your shepherd? And you know, we spent several weeks last year about the Lord is my shepherd. Are you praying for the Lord to guide you? You see, we're going into a new year, 2026. We just celebrated Christ. And if Christ is the focal point of our life, we know we're not going into 2026 alone. So are you praying for God to lead you? None of us know what 2026 will hold, if we'll even see it. But if we do, it'll be because God allowed it. And God has a plan and a purpose for you and for me. So we need to be praying as God's children for the Lord to lead us. In Psalms 119, David did this. "Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me." Here he's in modern, in my language, my interpretation, he's asking God to guide him. And yes, I may sin, but sin should not have dominion over my life. Help me when I'm weak. Because God can do that. And He knows our frailties and our inabilities. And He will help us, and He will lead us away from them when we seek Him first. In Psalm 25, David is doing this. "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truths and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day long." You know, this is a sermon all its own. Brother Jim has, over the years, given us so many wonderful sermons from the Psalms. And he could probably expound on this much greater than me. But this is a sermon on itself. Psalm 25, these two verses. "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths." You see, teaching doesn't come always in an instant. At the end, he says, "Oh, on you I wait all the day." Sometimes we have to be patient. We have to trust God. Lean not on your own understanding, the Word tells us. God might be leading us in a difficult path. It might not be the first place where we wanted to go. But rest assured, 2026, God is in control. He is sovereign, and we need to trust in that. So when we're praying, and when we are worshiping God, He will lead us, folks. You may not see the way and know the way, but He gives us just enough grace sometimes for the step we're on at the moment. And we need to trust Him as we step out in faith each day. He will lead us. We have God's Word to give us direction and to find encouragement when we are weak. What a blessing that is. Sometimes we all have difficulties, but when we turn to the Lord's Word, There's really not a difficulty in life that we can't find that's already occurred in the Bible to help us through these difficulties. So we should not what? Do not be afraid as we look forward to whatever 2026 more may hold for us. You know, I believe life is this way. Life is full of unknowns. But for most people, most of God's children, there's more blessings than there are difficult times. We just need to look through the darkness to see that light, because it's always there. And folks, I'll remind you again, I've said this many times too, sometimes you are the light that other people look to. So your faith needs to be strong and it needs to be shining, even when it's difficulty and hard circumstances that you find yourself in. Let your light shine and do not be afraid. In Isaiah, we hear this, and Isaiah is speaking through the prophet. The Lord is speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and it applies to me and to you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. Every word in this passage could apply to Mary and to Joseph, because God did every one of those things. How else could a 9-month pregnant young girl travel that distance on a donkey and not have prematurely delivered the baby along the way? God had a plan. God goes with us. He's going to go with us if he gives us 2026. He's going to uphold us, just like he said here in this passage in Isaiah, just like he did Mary and Joseph and those wise men. And he will lead us. And now I want to get back to our main story, because ultimately, folks, all roads lead to Jesus. For the life of a Christian, let me say that again. All roads lead to Jesus. And that brings us back to Bethlehem, because Jesus ties into Bethlehem. You see, it was in the prophecies that we read, and in Luke's account, we see other names for Bethlehem. And this is significant and it's important, and it's why God led Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. Bethlehem is called the city of David. And that's what the angel told to Mary. In the city of David, the birthplace is where Jesus would be born, but it was also the birthplace of David, the city of David. And later it would be called Bethlehem. That's where David was born. The Shepherd King is another name given to David. The Lord said David was a man after my own heart. But in 2 Samuel, we find something even more important. And this again is prophecy. But the Lord spoke through the prophet Samuel to these words, and it's directed to David. And when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your father, stop right there. See, it was tradition back in those days when the man died that he was buried in the man's family cemetery, the places where her fathers were. So when he died, you go to rest with your fathers is a terminology. David, when you die, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I said the light represents Jesus Christ, that light, that eternal flame that burns forever. God himself spoke this through the prophet Samuel to David. What a blessing that from him, and we know that as we go through the Bible, that David, in the lineage of David, goes all the way down to Joseph and to Mary. And Jesus was born from the house of David. So the city of David is another name for Bethlehem. But you see, Bethlehem has its own terminology too. In Hebrew, Bethlehem is two words, and it means house. Beth, as in Bethel, means house of God. And bread, which is lehem, means bread. The Hebrew language is read from right to left. So Bethlehem is written, as you see on our presentation, meaning house of bread. Bethlehem means house of bread. Now, I want you to think about that. House of bread. House of bread. What is that? Does it bring something else to your mind? You see how fitting it is that Jesus would be born in this house of bread. He was led all the way to Bethlehem, to this house of bread, so to speak, this city, because Jesus would later say himself in John chapter 6, and this was our opening call to worship message. Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. So let me ask you this day, folks. Do you trust and believe in Jesus Christ? You see, he is the bread of heaven. He gives life to the world, a life given to his children, and we shall never perish, the word tells us. Later over in John, in the same chapter 6 and verse 51, he says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. You see, Jesus came to give us eternal life. And we only have eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's the greatest love story that has ever existed and has ever could ever be told, is Jesus leaving his heavenly home to come to earth to redeem his people, his children, all of those who believe. And folks, that's me and you. And we will never perish. So as we go into 2026, if you think about the Christmas story, all of the wonders that are there, if you try to start, you know, constructing a model out of it, so to speak, of all the prophecies that fit together and are fulfilled when Jesus Christ was born, if you look at all of the wonderful things that God did for us, as God reveals that to you, and if you focus on that, it should be the main focal point of our life. And it should give us hope and joy and peace, just like we have in all these candles. And we have it all because of, just like that center candle, because of Jesus Christ. And that should be more important to us than anything. And it should give us the faith and the trust to know that that comes first. So we need to feast on the bread of heaven. And only you can answer if you are not. But if you are not, I want to remind you of something. If we go back to the original prophecy in Micah chapter 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from of old, from everlasting. You see, me and you, we're not very big, are we? We're kind of small in the scheme of things. We're all small. But even though we might be little like Bethlehem, and our faith may be small, God can do great things through us, just like he did that little town of Bethlehem. You see, it's not about me and you, is it? It's not about Bethlehem. They were just a very small little village, so to speak. But something tremendous came through Bethlehem because God had a plan. And he has a plan for me and you. Sometimes the hardest plan is believing that God will use you. You see, we're human. And we think about our inabilities and our frailties. But it's not about you. It's about what God can do through you. So folks, when we focus on God, when we feast on the bread of heaven, when we put our trust in him, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So folks, we have no reason to be afraid. You see, each day the Lord gives us, use one of those. Do not be afraid for what lies before us in 2026. Do not be afraid. We have the love of God. We just focused and celebrated Christmas. As we go into a new year, pray that God will lead you. Do not be afraid for anything. Focus on God, and He will direct your steps just like He did David's. And folks, I believe that 2026 will have more joy and peace and hope in it than hardships. But when those hardships come, and there may be some, let your faith be stronger than your circumstances. And when it is, your light will shine forth to somebody else, and you will encourage them because of your faith in God. And God has called us to praise and glorify Him. That is the sole purpose of man. When we praise and glorify God in hard circumstances, other people see it. That's what being the salt of the earth and light of the world is, what Jesus told us to do. That's how we do it. I pray that we will ask God to lead us and guide us in 2026. And I pray that He will strengthen us in our faith each and every day. And I pray that the love that you felt at Christmas as you gathered together with family and or when you thought about God, I pray that you'll carry that with you every day that He gives us. May the Lord add His blessings, is my prayer.